This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Lachlan Watson got their start in acting by being at the right place at the right time. They were the smart, quirky kid who hung out at Raleigh's Burning Coal Theater while their mom worked front of house. They played roles as wide-ranging as King Henry VI and a furry dog. And it was precisely that experience of playing such a wide swath of characters that helped Lachlan learn to express their identity in a way that felt most authentic to them. Lachlan identifies as genderqueer or non-binary. They currently appear as non-binary character Susie Putnam in the new Netflix series Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
In the town of Greendale, where it always feels like Halloween, there lived a girl who was half witch, half mortal, who, on her 16th birthday, would have to choose between two worlds, the witch world of her family and the human world of her friends.
Happy birthday, sweet 16.
And that girl is me.
Show's been a big success, received critical acclaim, and the second season drops early next month. Joining me in the studio is Lachlan Watson. Welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome back to your home.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. Let's talk about that, about just hanging out at Burning Coal and I guess maybe other theaters, but mostly there, huh?
Yeah, I spent most of my time at Burning Coal and RLT, Raleigh Little Theater.
Oh, yeah.
I learned how to speak at Bear Theater. It was a good time. It taught me a lot. How to speak sometimes.
Well, what do you mean by that? Taught you how to speak?
I had a hard time when I was a kid articulating a lot of what I was feeling. I think I was very in my head, and I was very... The only way I really expressed myself was through clothes, was through color, was through art, and I had a hard time... articulating that. And then when circumstances arose and I ended up stumbling on stage and ended up becoming an actor, it helped me figure out how to say what I was feeling a little bit more than I think I could have earlier.
So what kinds of things were you doing before they put you on the stage?
Oh boy. Well, I did concessions for a little while. I had my own little stool because I was too short to see over the counter. So I would bring out the stool. I sold my earrings to a lady one time because she liked them and I was very charismatic. And so I said $5 and handed her my earrings out of my ear. Still one of my shining moments.
So, and your mom was working in the theaters, right? Was that the
right
theater? That's why you were hanging out?
It was a bit
out
of a family ordeal. My mom used to teach theater, and so then she just, I don't know how she stumbled into community theater, but I remember growing up in the theater, basically, and growing up front of house, and I just ended up, I loved having all the responsibility and doing all the little jobs. I loved sweeping the floor, and then the time came at Burning Coal for them to do their cattle call auditions for the season, and they were doing Enron, and they needed some kid who had no boundaries to play Jeffrey Skilling's daughter. And everyone just sort of looked at me, and they were like, how do you feel about auditioning? And I didn't know how I felt, but I did it anyway. I whipped out my Aretha Franklin and sang it live on stage, and they were like, sure.
But really, how did you feel? Because, all right, it's one thing to make a couple bucks selling earrings and some popcorn, but... And as you said later, it was very helpful in helping you articulate this, but it suggests that you might have been a little shy and not ready to speak. So when you, what would that feel like, that audition?
I think I've always had a bit of an extreme extrovert hiding inside me under like my little introverted hood. And so I think theater just sort of let me show that and to let me understand that that wasn't something to hide, that I could just be loud and proud and be who I was, and I didn't have to hide that. I didn't have to be weird and different and the recluse. I could just be, and I think theater helped a lot with that.
And what's fascinating now, your character in this very successful Netflix series is one who is precisely loud and proud and able to speak out in ways that whole communities, even more open-minded communities, had not been open to.
Right, but they had to figure out how to be that. In the beginning seasons, they were very... like quiet and to themselves and just got picked on all the time. And then with Sabrina coming into their lives and with all of these bullies coming and confronting them directly, I think they found a lot of power within finding their voice and had to figure out how to be open and proud. And I think that's sort of something that I'm figuring out almost with them.
Well, take us through that process, because I think you first came out in your early teens as lesbian, but then realized that identity wasn't quite right. So take us through the process in your own life.
Well, I like to think about my gender journey as a bit of a three-part opera in a way that when I was growing up through theater, getting the role at Burning Coal just sort of snowballed, and I ended up getting things here and there and everywhere. And so I grew up through it. And when I was 13, I was surrounded by a lot of gay people, a lot of openly, proudly gay people, but they were cis gay people. They were gay people who still identified with their gender, the gender they were assigned at birth. And so they, a lot of them identified as lesbian, they identified as gay, and that's really all I saw. And so then when I felt a little different, when I felt a little strange, when I felt like something was missing, and I did a lot of what I thought at the time was deep thinking, I came to the conclusion that I was lesbian, because that's really all I knew. Right. And then in still not feeling right about that, I think a couple years later, I came out as a trans male, because I still thought something was missing. There were all those red flags as a kid where you're like, oh, I liked pants instead of dresses. Oh, that means I'm a man. And that's not always the case. But to me, it was. And so I came out as trans when I was 15, I think. And it was some of the hardest years of my life, because there was still something missing, something wrong, and I just felt so alone, and I felt so wrong that I've done all these things, I've come out as all these things, and I still feel different, I still feel weird and wrong, and that took a lot of pain and figuring out, and I ended up almost going through with some big medical decisions, and I ended up hesitating, and it was a big moment for me to listen to myself and to realize that I was hesitating, and in doing that, I was like, wait, I'm not finished. I'm not done yet. I need to do some more thinking. And so I paused.
What caused that pause or that hesitation? And maybe more important than the causes, what was that moment like for you?
It was overwhelming. It was when I got handed the 5-page long list of side effects for testosterone with relatively no question. I'd seen all the YouTube videos. I'd read all the articles. I had it all memorized. I knew what to say. And so they were like, cool, you know what you're talking about here. Turns out I'm just a good actor. And then in getting that long list and in realizing that this is going to be me for the rest of my life, and I didn't know how to feel about that. That was that overwhelming sense of something's missing, something's wrong. And I ended up just saying, hold on, let me think about this for a second. And in doing that, I realized that there was more to it. Yeah. And in doing that, I came out as non-binary, because to me, it was almost a revolution against the system, where I was like, I don't have to be any one thing. I don't have to do only the things that society tells me to do. I don't have to live my life and do the things to my body that the world tells me that I have to do, that I'm supposed to do. And so then I ended up getting top surgery like a couple years later, and everyone around me said, oh, no, that's wrong, you can't do that, that's not how this works, you're supposed to go on blah, blah, blah first, there's a system. And I was like, why? There is no system. That's not how, there's no schedule. And I just sort of did what felt right. And it was the best decision I ever made, because that was the first time I really listened to myself, and I allowed myself to be who I was unapologetically in a way. And that sort of led into getting the role on Sabrina, and that led to where I am now. And now, in doing all of that, what was actually deep thinking, I've learned a lot more about myself and my identity. So now I feel a little bit more well-equipped to speak about it to other people who may need to hear it.
Dick, that's such a rare space, though, talking about feeling, you know, coming to yourself finally, you know, knocking on the wrong door. I thought it was this. That's not what's happening inside me. I thought it was this. I did a lot of work. It's not it. Then coming to yourself and being essentially what you described, very lonely. Nobody is buying into this except you, but the deepest you that you'd ever known. And
right.
Instead of, you weren't describing a kind of loneliness or despair. You were describing a kind of relief. And
it's almost a freedom in a way where I wasn't. That was when I knew that it was really right for me, because I felt so alone in it. I knew that nothing else was influencing what I was doing or who I was, because clearly no one else agreed with it. Right. So I was like, well, then this must be right.
So talk about getting the role in this Netflix series, Sabrina.
It was kind of crazy. It happened so quickly. I'm still not sure what happened. I ended up auditioning for the role. I got some random cattle call that was like, oh, we need a quirky queer teen. And I was like, well, that's my typecast, I'll go for it. And I ended up auditioning. And then a couple hours later, I ended up getting a message back from the producer, Roberto, who's our showrunner. He's the creative director of Archie. And that was sort of terrifying, that I was like, oh God, the creative director of Archie is emailing me. And then he wanted to Skype with me, and that was even worse. So I ended up Skyping with him the very next day in my living room in my pajamas with my four cats. And we just ended up having this extensive conversation on gender identity and what acting meant to me, what the role meant to me, and what it meant to me to have a platform to speak about all of this. And I think I ended up like talking at him for about an hour, just explaining everything, going through my history. And I don't think he really knew what to say, but he was basically just like, cool, you got the role. Can you be out here tomorrow for the table read? And of course, the show films in Vancouver, Canada, and I live in North Carolina, and my mom had a job, and I was like, no, actually, I can't. So we ended up going out about a week later, and that was it. I just got thrown in head first. It was crazy. And then I was there for another 9 months.
Thrown in head first. Clearly, they had an idea where they were going. Clearly, they liked something about you, not only your acting skills, but the way you were approaching this. Talk about the evolution, too, because they were not quite on the same page as you were on kind of what it meant to be non-binary. Maybe you can describe your character a little bit for us first, and then talk about the evolution.
Well, I'm not even sure having the character be non-binary was even on their radar. Mm. I mean, I think we've gotten a lot of credit for this season of oh, Susie's this amazing non-binary character, when really when we filmed that, I don't even think they knew that that's who Susie was. I think the character was almost developing on their own. And because Susie was, I believe the character was set to be trans, was to come out as a trans man, which might still happen, we'll see. And so that was sort of where they were heading, because that's what they knew, that's what was popular in the media, that's the sort of queer role that was interesting. And so that's where they were going, and then I think I just showed up sort of loud and proud and in the middle, and I was the human embodiment of the gray area, and they were just sort of like, oh, I get it. And I think the writers picked up on it, I think Roberto picked up on it, and I think I may have accidentally altered the character. So it was just interesting watching the coming out scene get delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed, and then immediately, like, or eventually just cut altogether. And Susie was allowed to live in a gray area for a second, which I felt very proud of.
Well, we're going to play a scene right now. I don't know if it needs to be set up, but this is a scene in a bookstore where you're bullied.
Ooh, good.
Let's just play that, and then we can talk about it afterward.
Well, 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 what do you know? It's the little dyke girl.
Been a while. What's up?
Yeah, what are you up to?
Nothing. Shopping.
What do you got under your shirt? I mean, definitely not boobs, but you got something. Hey, let's see.
Grab it.
Excuse me. We'll thank you to keep your hands to yourself.
She started it.
No, she didn't, Billy Mullen.
That's a clip from season one of the Netflix show Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I'm here with Lachlan Watson, a Raleigh-based actor who plays the gender non-binary character Susie Putnam. Tell us a little bit of the backstory. I mean, was that a scene that we may not have seen otherwise?
In a way, I think so. I think the character was sort of built on struggle. They were sort of a representative of all the little queer kids who get bullied in high school. And I think that was a defining factor of the character, was how they respond to bullying, which isn't always the best, most positive story to tell when you do it without care. But I think the way that we did it was we really thought about, how can we do this differently? How can we show strength through vulnerability? And it sucked to film. It was awful. It was hard being back in that, especially never going to a traditional public school. I went to some charter schools. I was homeschooled for a while, but I never had the thousands of people in one hallway experience. And so the first time I walked onto that high school set with all of these 300 extras and these guys who were cast to bully me, it was terrifying. And it was something I'd never experienced before. And so filming that scene was hard. And it was difficult to put myself back in that headspace. But I think in going through it with the character, in finding strength through that was just written on the page for me, it was such a good experience, because I felt so much more clued in to where the character was at, that it was very informative in a way.
Well, it's interesting that you would say strength through vulnerability. People would want that to be an object lesson in bullying, and then what do we do about bullying, and what rules do we write about bullying? It seems to me that what you're saying here is so much more subtle and so much more profound. It's not about bullying. It's about, first of all, And then we don't mean to encourage this. So here's how you're going to build character. Let's let the bullies go on, and then we'll just build character through this. That's not what we're saying at all. But the idea of finding your strength in that, and also really interrogating the whole question about our binary and the boundaries that we've set on gender.
Right. Well, it's something everyone goes through. It's strength through adversity, even whether it's vulnerability or not. It's something that everyone stumbles across. It's your boss. It's your bullies. It's your great aunt, I don't know, but yeah. Everyone comes across it in some way. And I feel like the story that's always told is, oh, you get bullied, then you're the victim, and then years later you're like, you know what, I didn't deserve that. But it's interesting looking at it in a different way, where it's just something everyone goes through. It's and it doesn't have to be this horrific thing. You can not let them affect you. I mean, as difficult as that may be, you can find strength through the words they're saying at you. You can appreciate the fact that you are different and that you are attracting energy. You are attracting an idea, and you're standing up for something. And people who don't like that, of course, they're gonna come at you and they're gonna try and tear you down. But you can find strength in standing up at all.
It's interesting that your character is set in a series that is essentially that. It's about a young woman who's going to have to make a big choice.
Right. I mean, Satan is Sabrina's adversity.
Right.
And mine's
right.
Just three jocks in football uniforms.
Yeah, but they actually walk the earth. So you've both got
right.
A problem here. Talk about this, because there are really so few gender non-binary characters on TV and movie. And you say, you know, in some ways, I've talked to actors who really run up against this, like they can't break through.
Right.
Is it changing, do you think?
I have no idea. Yeah. I sure hope so. But it's a little daunting to be in this position, and to be in this position with people like Liv Hewson, who's on Santa Clarita Diet, who I've met a couple times, who's also a non-binary person playing a female role. And it's just difficult going through this with people like that. And then, you know, you take a moment and someone submits you for Emmys or some award, and you go, well, what category would I even be submitted in? Could I even win? Because then, oh, that'd spark this whole conversation that would I have to have this whole category? And then everyone would be like, oh, well, then of course they won because they're the only one in that category.
Yeah, I would just take that for now.
Right.
I would take
I'll
it for
take
now.
I'll take it. I'll take it. But no one wants to do that.
Exactly.
No big academy exactly. wants to take that step. And so being myself at all is seen as an act of rebellion. And so it's hard to just be yourself when being yourself holds you back in a way. And so, I don't know, I'm hoping that times will change.
What kind of messages are you getting? What kind of response are you getting?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been, I may not be getting awards and I may not be getting accolades, but having hundreds of queer kids in my direct messages on Instagram every day writing me these beautiful paragraphs about how seeing me on Instagram being myself, or just seeing the character exist at all, is empowering to them, and it's helping them fight their own adversity, or if anything, it's just helping them feel a little bit more comfortable in where they are. And that to me has made the whole thing worth it. I don't really care if I get awards. I don't care if I fit into one category or the other, because I'm speaking to those who don't fit in the categories, and I'm saying that you're okay, that you don't have to be wrong.
Do you feel any pressure about that? Like, you are one of the very few who's in that position?
Oh boy, absolutely. Yes, it's terrifying. It's overwhelming to be one of the only ones. It's hard to not see yourself reflected. It's difficult to, I was offered this romantic love interest role a little while back from this very popular romantic novelist. And, well, I wasn't offered it. I was auditioning for it. And it was just this cheesy, badly written role. But in the character description, it was like, androgynous kid, that's it. And it was never mentioned again. Queerness was not the topic. Mm. It was just a person. It was just a person playing this cheesy love interest role. And for a second, I was like, ugh, I don't want to take this. Like, oh, I'm better than this or whatever, which is so stupid. And for a second, that was all going through my head. And then I realized that the reason that I felt so weird about it, the reason I felt like I could never get it, is because I'd never seen someone who looked like me in one of those cheesy love interest roles, ever. And that's why I felt like I'd never get it in a million years. So I was like, of course I have to go out for it. I didn't get it, but it was the idea that counts.
You're in that position. You're in a place where you can. Lachlan Watson, Raleigh-based actor who plays the character Susie Putnam in the Netflix show Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Season 2 comes out next month. What a pleasure. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Absolutely a pleasure. Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, the alternate folk pop sound of The Collection. There's something in their music that you will love. I promise. Stay tuned. Close to what it said. If you don't make your bed, you don't have to lie in it. If you don't make your bed, you don't have to lie in it.